Welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood Gaiden, episode 17. I'm your host, John Anderson, and joining me as always from Queens, New York,
Hodor,
Fred Earhart. Say hello,
hi,
Fred.
Hi, Fred.
I said say hello, Fred. And of course, I'm joining everybody from beautiful Seattle, Washington. Do you like my new high energy intro?
I do. It's getting my spirits up. What's the weather like over there? I heard it was really rainy over the weekend.
Yeah. Are we really talking about the weather? Oh my god, it's like the most boring fucking thing.
I'm going to segue into something.
Next time, can we talk about cell phone providers or maybe traffic?
I have Fios. I don't know about you.
Yesterday, which was Tuesday, not the weekend, or excuse me, 2 days ago on Tuesday, which is not the weekend, it rained like East Coast style, but it was like a little drizzly over the weekend, and let me tell you why I prefer that.
Tell me why, John.
There you go. So, I like when there are big national events or the focus is on Seattle that it rains, because it upholds this kind of moronic thing that's out there that like it rains a ton in Seattle. It doesn't really rain that much in Seattle. I mean,
it rains enough.
Sure, it rains less than New York, and during the summer especially less. We have like a pretty much a dry season where it barely rains from like late May to sometime into September.
Right. Well, you're like right above the drought line right now too.
I don't know. Fuck it. Dude, I pour water like I don't even...
Making it rain.
I don't even donate to Lou Gehrig's disease. I just like routinely pour water all over me myself, and I'm like, haha, fuck you, California. You know, the thing about that is, I bet you could still go get your car washed in California. Like those businesses are still open. That fucking
right.
Whatever. Hey, what are you serious? This is what we're talking about.
Well, the reason I asked is because it seemed like, you know, there was a lot of things going on in Seattle this weekend.
Oh, bumper shoot.
Bumper shoot.
Oh, the Mariners playing baseballs?
Mariners playing baseball. All these outdoor things. What else could have been happening that might have been maybe insulated from the rain and the weather a little bit? The kind of event that people who don't normally see weather would attend.
You know, the funny thing about that is PAX Prime, it takes place in multiple venues. So
yeah.
So the nerds did have to get wet. Oh my god!
They're not connected venues. It's not like everything has a walkway to everything else.
No, because like to go to the Hyatt, you gotta go outside. I think you have to go outside. I went outside.
Yeah, you know, when I think of conventions, you know, the conventions I've gone to, a lot of them have been pretty well insulated, right? A lot of
well insulated, like the people that go to them.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Devoid of all outside cultures.
In a bubble, if you will.
You see, we're not recording video on this, but I'm making a bubble with my hands.
It's a good bubble, good arc.
I mean, that's not even necessarily true. I mean, I think that's a representation of like what's happened in the last 2 weeks on the internet of those fucking fucks. I think like PAX Prime, man, wow, every kind of person's at this thing, and if you go out of your way to find people that are not like you, I think you're going to have a good time. I think that's the first thing I actually want to talk about is my experience at PAX Prime is something you talked about after PAX East, which was the diversity ghetto. I mean, diversity lounge.
The inclusion favela.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So, I mean, from my understanding and from talking to people that were there, like were in the diversity lounge, the place they put them in
the corral.
Yeah, the corral. Corral is actually a better word for it. Just horrible words for it. Where they were at PAX Prime was apparently better than where they were at PAX East. I guess in PAX East they were in a room or something.
Yeah, so you know, PAX East is the Boston Convention Center. There's the big floor, and then the two like rails that go around the building for a couple floors. And they had them, I think, on the second floor in one of the side rooms, like where they hold like the panels and all that, basically.
Yeah. So here they're out. They're kind of on the floor on the top floor of the convention center. The sixth floor of the convention center is not the main show floor, but it's like the kind of annex. So there's like more. There's some like some niche stuff up there. There's like PC a lot of PC stuff, and politically correct stuff. If people that use that fucking pejorative. That's where you can go get sized for a utilikilt. So it's like a show floor annex. That's where like console tournaments and like the retro room are. And if you were going to the sixth floor, the chances are you'd pass by this diversity strip mall. And see these folks.
Can we come up with some more nicknames for this?
Actually now strip mall probably best fits it because they are you didn't have to go into a separate room to see them. They were along a strip.
No one will find them here in the dirt mall.
Yeah, but God, Mallrats reference. But you know, I stopped by and I talked to some people. You know, friends, acquaintances. I talked to our buddies at Able Gamers. Bought a shirt, should say donated, got a shirt. I talked to Press XY. Forget the last name. Eric from EGM. It's their side project.
Is that a reference to chromosomes?
Yes. So it's okay. It's like it's trans issues in gaming. And you know, I stopped by and talked to them for a bit, and you know, because you know, I'd say I'm pretty like, you know, I'm open and I think I'm openly a supporter of inclusivity. But, sure. You know, that doesn't mean I'm like an expert on what that means to every single group, right? That's necessarily marginalized. And, you know, I talked to several of these folks and, you know, was talking about like, hey, what do you think about being here versus like, do you think if PAX was really serious about being inclusive, you'd be, you know, next to Ubisoft and stuff. And like, you know, part of the answer is yes, and the other side of it is also like, hey, those people are paying a shit ton of money to be in the middle of the floor, and they've got to make this business decision. It's like, well, yeah, but they would obviously be showing by forfeiting that money that that it was more important to them. But then also there is the, you know, sort of the possibility that it would be a lot harder to communicate with folks down there because it's so fucking loud on the show floor.
I was going to say that's actually a pretty good point.
But, you know, I don't know. There's some other... Yeah, but that said, like there was a solid representation of other of these kind of like marginalized groups, you know, and it was good talking to them. In fact, you know, we might have some folks from these groups on at some point because I was pimping the podcast a little.
Great,
you know,
I'll watch my language this episode.
Like seriously, like I don't think you don't drop any like hard and like you don't
pejoratives.
Say. You don't say, like, you know, real fucked up shit anymore.
Not knowingly. I've caught myself saying things that I didn't realize were offensive until someone told me. Well, and then I had to stop and think about it and go, like, it's weird. I have to stop and understand people's viewpoints. And, like, it's not something I would necessarily, even if I stopped myself at every word and went, is that offensive to someone? Like, I don't necessarily know the history of everything I say. You know, there's just colloquialisms that people use.
Yeah, but they like, you know, I agree. Because like even there's a term like handicapped, right? Like, you know, kind of until talking to Mark from Able Gamers, I didn't realize not the accepted term, right? He corrected us and he said disabled, and so I think it's a mark of a reasonable person when you say, hey, this is not the right thing to say. Could you say this? Could you, you know, this is the accepted term? Or I think like what they're doing at Press XY is like for, you know, a small donation, you can get a pin that has your pronouns on it. Right. I go with he, his, him. Other folks do not. Other folks go away. They, there, them. Or he, her, his,
he, her, haw,
her,
ha, who,
her, she, fuck. Or, you know, there are some, like, genderless pronouns out there. Yo.
No one goes by fuck, John.
Yo. Ah, you're a real fuck. Okay. So, I mean, that was kind of, like, cool. We've got my fucking social crusading out of the way, right? They also
had, let's talk about the Murder Sims.
They had, so they had, like, their own, what do you call it? Fucking, like, Cards Against Humanity expansion, mini card expansion. And I'll, I'll just throw a couple of these out there. I should have got two of these, got one for you. Maybe I'll just send this to you. I think you need it more than me.
That's all right. I mean, I'll run into those guys again.
The coolest is black card. Coolest side effect of hormone therapy is the feels, all the feels. These are actually pretty.
So that's that's the PAX set. That's the PAX Prime set.
This is the transgendered issues in Trans Against Insanity expansion, unofficial expansion.
Okay.
These are actually fucking really good. These would be really good in the regular set. Realizing that I am also gay. size 15 Mary Jane heels, testosterone body shots, gender stereotyping, prostate stimulation, voice practice until you channel your inner mouse. Yeah, these are pretty solid. I should. I'm gonna order you another set. I'm just gonna send you these.
Is that like a Max Temkin joint? Like, did he put those out, or is that like an unofficial?
No. It's like Crabs Against Humidity.
Okay.
Also, like, I think this came out kind of in a protest to some of the cards that Cards Against Humanity has since apologized for.
That's kind of a weird protest, though. Let's protest this game by making things that encourage you to play this game.
Well, I think it shows kind of like there isn't necessarily this thing, and I think we talked about this last week with Alex, where like we don't necessarily think that like video games are horrible, right? And I don't think Anita Sarkeesian does, right? It's like, you should be able to criticize these things that are fucked up about things you like. And I think that's, I really think, like, you know, I think you and I are the same way, right? Like, we're constantly bemoaning shits that's whack.
Everything. Everything on earth.
In the stuff we like the most, because it's the most disappointing when something is whack in shit you like.
Yes, it is disappointing when things are whack and shit. Like this fucking podcast.
Your fucking podcast. Keep it going. This is supposed to be guide end. This is supposed to be short, but I feel like this is gonna go forever.
Well, no, this is a Paxisode. We have to talk it up.
Fuck you. All right. Ask me about anything.
All right. Most importantly, I gotta know. Hotline 2.
Hotline Miami 2, wrong number. So this is a must buy at launch, right?
I think so. After one, I think we have to.
So I'm not going to go into too much. I want to tell you things I fucking like about it. First of all, my word on the street is most of the people that worked on some of the music for the first one are back. So that's fucking dynamite. I played it on Vita. Presentation, like, it looks crisper, to be like really vague about it. Like, just like the kind of like presentation, like the sort of, the animation, I mean, the animation already seems super good. It feels so good. And then the most important fucking thing, so dual wielding, and you can kind of hit like a button combination and do sort of action movie like twists, right? Like
John Woo stuff.
Yeah, like one gun forward, one to the side, one front, one back, like both out to the side, and then just go into a room and just like fucking pirouette. Ow!
And then white doves come out from everywhere.
Dude, that would be fucking sick. This game is a must fucking have. I played it on Vita. I think it's gonna be day and date on Vita. I could be wrong. I don't know. I think that's probably where I'm gonna play it this time. But I don't know. Hopefully it'll be cross-buy. So, ask me about another thing.
Okay, you wrote... I don't even know how to read that. I'm skipping that one.
No, just say it.
Horizon 2?
Yeah, no, Forza Horizon 2.
Oh, okay.
I played that. That was, I think, the only... I'll say that's the only real AAA game I bought. Played. That game is dope. I'm going to play that game so much.
Is it at all different from the first one, or is it just like a new one?
Yeah, it's fucking 1080p, fucking super sexy, hot white shit. They've added a ton of stuff. They've added day night cycle weather. It's in Europe. They've like changed like the before you couldn't really drive off the road, and you can do that now.
They open worlded it.
Well, it was open world before, but like you couldn't leave the road, right? Like you couldn't break a fence on the side of the road. So now you can. It's got like this like more instance like drop in drop out multiplayer, so you can kind of just like go cruising with people. There are races now that take place on like open streets instead of like in the first one it was more like all the races like they closed off all the streets. This has some more. It's dope. I mean, I'm going to play it. You're not a racing game guy, but it's fucking really good.
No, but I could always sit down with one and just sort of jam on it for a while. I mean, there's not a steep learning curve with those.
Yeah, coming September 30th, only for Xbox One, the all-in-one entertainment platform.
Dang.
Buy one.
All right, John. What the fuck does Bone Loaf mean?
So Bone Loaf is the developer behind Gang Beasts. Gang Beasts is so.
I hope this is like a breakdancing game.
So Gang Beasts is like a Double Dragon kind of side scroller beat 'em up in a way, but there's also a competitive mode. But like the entire time, you're basically controlling like a drunk baby.
What?
Yeah. It's on early access. I highly recommend anybody play this. The competitive multiplayer aspect of it is really nuts. Like the fighting, like, and these levels are all set up with these like really haphazard, like hazards.
Like, good. Thank God the hazards are hazardous.
Like, oh, we're fighting on the top of these two fucking semi trucks. Hope a sign doesn't hit somebody.
Why did they build their arena on a fire pit?
Why are there all these exposed fan blades? I think there's lava levels, obviously, like molten metal levels. Like, basically, you're fighting in that. Like,
why did we build our city inside a volcano?
Yeah, like the fucking death factory from like Cobra or Terminator 2. Like, right. It's just like an abandoned factory where like they produce death
and steam.
Yeah,
lots of steam everywhere. Speaking of steam, John.
Valve doesn't go to this.
I don't ever recall Valve going to any of the packs.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I just thought that was kind of weird, man. For as much as people fucking love this company, like, they don't seem to actually care about people.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't know if Blizzard was at your PAX, but I know they were at PAX East, and they have their own goddamn con. They have BlizzCon.
Blizzard was up in there showing their MOBR.
MOBR?
Yeah, no, MOBR. Their Lords Management game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you can have Diablo fight against StarCraft people.
Yeah. Speaking of Lords Management games, I went to the Idle Thumbs panel.
just adding things as we go. How was that?
It's great. I fucking love those guys. Those guys can speak about video games in the most
better way than us.
They're so intelligent. Very funny. Handsome.
Dapper, even.
No, I wouldn't say dapper. Dapper, like, suggests, like, more, like, a put-together sort of thing. They have, like, a natural... Well, not the bald one. Well...
They have a schlubbiness to them, but they were still enthralling.
Yeah.
Just trying to...
They were very gracious as well. Like, many of the people that got up to ask questions were, in fact... You know, the three panels that were there all work at Campo Santo. And, like, a lot of people got up and asked them about their new game that they, you know... showed the previous day. It's like, guys, the questions weren't that bad at that panel.
No, I was actually going to ask you how not the panelists at PAX this year, but the people who asked questions were. Was it the normal shit show?
They weren't that bad. Two of the things I went to did like write note cards ahead of time.
Well, that's pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, and the Giant Bomb one, I think I left early. They kind of pissed me off. But I'll, you know, I think I might have something more to say about that as a later date. I just like when they released their panel, I just want to go back and make sure that like they said what I think they said. We'll go with this one now because like, so I went to this thing and like they got asked this question about like, you know, all this shit that's been happening recently, basically, right? Like, and like,
as it pertains to that incident they had a little bit ago with hiring scandal?
Or? No, more like everything that's happening and like what is your guys' responsibility to be more inclusive? There, you know, Jeff Gerstmann, like, first of all, like, visibly, like, everybody up there was like, so Patrick Klepek, they're like, you know, hippie leftist, the guy that's most right. Like me, I'd say, like, even he was like,
was it that they were scared or that they were walking on eggshells or
probably a little bit of both? Basically, like, the response I kind of remember, you know, I get drunk for these, was like, hey, we know what 95% of our audience is, and we, you know, we're going to continue to serve that, blah, 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 blah. It's like, whoa, man, that's like, it's the worst possible answer, I think. Like, do you think about why that's your audience in the first place? And I think that would kind of go back to, remember that article on Polygon, No Girls Allowed?
Yeah.
It's like thinking about like the root of these things rather than how it is and let's maintain the status quo. But I think I'm gonna have more thoughts on that later.
I think that's an episode in and of itself because I wasn't even there and I probably already have thoughts on this.
So, but that night I went home, pretty drunk, and I was like, man, I'm gonna watch fucking Fast Five. And I was like, look at this fucking movie. Look at this fucking movie and is an example of like just being fucking diverse, you know, like, you know. They're like not that many white people in those movies. And granted,
no, you've got black characters, you've got white characters, you've got Hispanic characters. You have a bag of balloons that's slowly floating away. That would be The Rock.
What the fuck is that supposed to be?
He's gigantic. He looks like a bag of balloons.
Oh, he's so overinflated. I fucking love that movie. Oh my god. Tetris.
Yeah, please tell me about this.
So I went to a panel about how Tetris changed the world. Alexey Pajitnov was on the panel, and then I met him later. Wow. He also read one of my questions during the panel, and I gotta say, guy's a hero to me. I think like I absolutely admire him and Hank Rogers, and like the story of bringing that game over and like their partnership and their friendship. And just, like, you know, that fucking game is, like, the closest thing to, a universal experience in video games. Like, more mm-hmm. people have... I'd say it's without a doubt more people have played Tetris than any other game. You know?
It's such a prominent game that, like, there's no one on this planet that I know who you could say the words Tetris in front of and them not know what it means and the history of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's that,
yeah.
Ingrained into society.
Yeah, I just, as far as video games go, it's the closest thing we have to a universal experience. Like, it's the, you know, it's
Tetris
like...
Tetris is the key.
It's like the Mickey Mouse of video games. Like, just right. The most known thing in the world. I bet more people know what Tetris is than Jesus.
We're going to have to test that theory.
Well, one is a real thing. Boom! How many people just turned off? I was talking about Jesus, you guys. Those guys were there again. Jesus.
Oh, the Church of Gamers or whatever it is.
Oh, God.
They're at every con I go to, and they always have a very sad booth.
They were giving away lots of stuff, man. Where do they get this money?
Well, that's how they get you. Hey, here, have this stuff. Let me tell you a story.
All right. Do you pick another thing off my list?
Berserkers.
Okay, so Berserkers is a competitive multiplayer game in which I want to say a little bit like Bomberman, in that it's, you know, it's, you're trying to get your opponent killed, right? Right. Your opponent's killed. You're supposed to be, you're trying to be the last one left on the board. You can move around the board and dig trenches behind you of a certain length, right? And there's a, after about 3 seconds of the level, a bear is released and is chasing everybody. The bear can go over the trenches you dig, I think, but the your opponents cannot. So, like, your goal is to, like, trap them in an area of this, not, like, maze-like sort of thing.
Is it, like, is it sort of like Centipede, almost? Like, you're trying to, except that you're trying to build a structure, or not Centipede, Snake.
Like, yeah. Kinda. But you're not always leaving a trail. But it is, it's like competitive Snake if you were, like, trying to kill your opponent in Snake. Right. But with a bear that's trying to kill everybody.
It's, I genuinely like that concept.
Dude,
I was worried that you would be the bear.
No. I don't know what you play as. This was a lot of fun. A lot of fucking fun. Check this one out.
All right. Man, you got so many weird ones in here. I don't even I don't even know what's going on here. Action RPG game show.
So, okay, let me see if I have a card for this. Fuck, man. These guys with their fucking names of their games, like, they're just so fucking...
How many, like, wizard mage fight things were there?
Oh, man. What the fuck is this guy?
What was that one from last year's, or this year's PAX? Was a lichdom? Like, it was, like, the enlichening?
Yeah, that looked boring. I didn't go over near that. Fuck. Okay, so there is this game, right? It's a game show. It's a game show.
Okay. But
it's an action RPG. There's one server. Only 8 people are ever playing at one time. When you go, that's your one shot. But while you're in the audience, you can... this is when you're pre-leveling your character. You're like... can get rewards on your character, and you can do stuff to the people who are currently playing.
You start as an audience member, and that's sort of like your character building time, and then eventually you get called down to the game show itself, and that's where you do shit, but then people in the audience to level their character can interact with what's going on the floor?
Yes.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Is it like Smash TV-ish or something like that, or?
I feel like Smash TV, like Running Man, like Hunger Games, you know, these sort of things are in it. 1 versus 100. These sort of elements are all in that. It, like, the actual gameplay looked like it was action RPG. It was like Diablo but controller, like direct control.
Right.
Guy was like,
here's the real question. Would you buy it for a dollar?
No, because it's free to play.
Oh, well, there you go.
he like didn't totally have the business model worked out, but he was like, you're going to be able to buy things as audience members. It was weird, man. I think my favorite thing about PAX was seeing things like this. Like, yeah, I'm like, that's you. That is weird.
Aha.
Guy. You guys.
Was that like a PC thing or was that console?
It's PC.
Okay.
I mean,
that sounds cool.
I could see it coming into consoles. Like, I mean, Xbox did something, I mean, in a game show format before. Man, I really liked 1 versus 100. It was very good. Cool. I got into the 100 one time.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Look at my excitement on my face that no one can see with no video.
All right.
I want to hear more packs. Keep talking and nobody explodes, John.
Oh, my God. This fucking game, this dude. This fucking game. All right. So here's what happens in Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. One person has an Oculus Rift. Other people have printed manuals. The person wearing the Oculus Rift has a bomb in front of them and has to defuse it. the people who have the manuals cannot see his screen, but he can describe it to them, and they have to tell him what to do to defuse the bomb.
Oh, wow. It's sort of, you know what? This is one of those, like, weird cross-media, like, what's that Star Command game or whatever it is?
Space Team.
Space Team. It's sort of like that, right?
It's totally like Space Team.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great, though.
Oh, so cool. I'm like, so are you guys, like, students or something? Because, like, you know, how the fuck do you make money off this? They're like, no, this is our, like, studio. You know, we just started a few weeks ago. This came out of a game jam. I'm like, are you fucking guys? Are you guys? This idea. How good is that idea? You look for some video online of people playing it. It's so cool.
I wonder how horrifying it is if the bomb explodes for the person wearing the Oculus.
I don't think it's that crazy.
No, okay.
I mean, you know, dude, they have not... This is not a, you know, totally fleshed out thing yet. It's like very... It was great seeing people showing actual alphas, you know, not this like word that alphas fucking become that it's like a marketing term. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like playing one game. I think it was Nova 111. I fucking don't even know. I'm playing like this one game and there was like, yeah, this is where the magnets will be. But now it's a gray box. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. This is a fucking alpha, man.
I understand gray box.
Oh, let's see.
But where are their microtrans in the alpha?
That game actually did have microtrans. But it was, I think that was Nova 111. I can't fucking remember it. I think that was like one of the more boring games I saw. I was just, sorry, dude. But their business model, it was like a puzzle-y. Ugh, I wasn't really feeling it.
Well, maybe when it's in beta, you'll be more interested.
Okay, actually, it was in beta.
Gamma.
It was in beta. It's out in a couple months. Alpha would have probably been rougher than that. Okay. Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
Is that a game? Wait. Is this a Christine Love? That naming sounds like something from her.
No, but I did stop by her booth and bought a physical copy of Analog.
That's cool.
Always good to see her.
She was one of the people who was very on the fence about going to PAX too.
Yeah, she seemed to be having a pretty good time. So Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. This is I've talked to the developer. I can't remember what their name is off the top of my head. The boring game I was talking about was Graspoid. And then I don't know what Nova 111 is. It was probably pretty good.
I'm glad you put it in your list.
I don't know. So Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time is coming to Xbox One. It's the Xbox One, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's the all-in-one entertainment platform.
I haven't heard of it. It must not be very popular.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the only video game console I've ever shipped, so it's still kind of special to me.
So awful.
I was talking to CJ, and I was like, man, it's like... He was like asking me something about like blah 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 industry or blah, blah something. I'm like, it is
blah 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 industry.
I'm like, it's weird to think that I'm. Ugh, it's weird. So, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time is coming to Xbox One, the all-in-one entertainment platform. Sorry. So, you're in a spaceship, but you control a guy, a person in this spaceship. There's another person on the spaceship. And there's like 8 stations on the spaceship, and you have to like carry out this mission. But obviously, only two fucking stations can be worked at the same time. So if you're like fighting a big horde, you know, maybe one person's working the shields and one's the guns, but you can't be moving, right? And like that sort of thing. So you have to like, it's kind of defender-ish in that you have to like rescue these people or bunnies or something, and like. You're navigating around this. It's cute. The colors are really vibrant. It's like it's got a really good feel to it. Like a really fun co-op experience. Like I think this would be like, yeah, this would be a fun game to play with the wife, to you know spark the divorce.
Why aren't you on the shields?
God,
get to the tractor beam. Katie?
This transporter ain't gonna run itself. That is exactly how that would play out, by the way. Word for word.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. We're down to five things on this list, and then I'm going to just start pulling cards out of this pile.
All right, let's go to the top again, because what the hell is hashtag IDARB?
Hashtag IDARB is a new game from Mike Mica. From, I think his studio is called Other Ocean. He's been developing games for like 20, 25 years. He's also one of the guys profiled on the one of the episodes of A Life Well Wasted. Like, he is like he has one of the biggest retro gaming collections in the entire world.
That's where I know that name from.
Yeah. So, yeah. Was talking to him, playing this game with him. It's basketball meets Smash Brothers with internet sprinkled in.
Oh, good.
So you're trying, you're on a team and you're trying to get this ball into the opponent's goal, right? And they're trying to do the same to you, but it's on a platformer, right? And like, so thus the Smash Brothers and like knocking people around and stuff. There's a constant Twitter feed at the bottom. So if you tweet something with hashtag IDARB, it goes into the game. And then people watching on Twitch, your game on Twitch, can troll the game.
That is a great way to just incredibly inflate your presence on social media by like integrating like the hashtag into the actual gameplay.
Dude, it was not, I don't know, I want to say this is the best thing I played.
It sounds awesome.
It was so cool. It was so cool talking to Mike Mica. Like, there's another guy, like, I don't want to say like he's my hero, but like he's somebody I really admire because of his retro gaming collection.
Right.
Plus, I was like, hey man, here's the sticker for my show. He's like, oh, you think it'd be cool if I came on sometime? Like,
No, it's terrible. You should.
No, you know, he was a really nice guy, really gracious. We basically just barely lost the match, and which is really saying something because he's really good at it. So I was really bad. But this
game club? Game club material?
You can't play this because it's only coming to the Xbox One, the all-in-one entertainment platform. I think you should play this game, though. Oh, man. I think you should get an Xbox. This game is so good. There's,
you know, the Xbox One is starting to rack up the hits here. It might sell me on it.
Halo, Sunset Overdrive. Like, there were some cool indie games at the Sony booth. I can't even front on that shit, right? Like, fucking Hotline 2 is there. There was something I took video of that I don't. There was the Talos Principle, which was like
a horribly named game.
It's from Devolver too. I think it's like they said it's like Myst meets Journey. I don't fucking know. That looked crazy. Here, I'll show you a picture, their postcard. So it's like
it's autographed.
Yeah. But the stuff coming to ID at Xbox is really good looking. Like, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time looks really good. Hashtag IDARB looks so cool.
As a quick aside, while you were gallivanting around PAX enjoying yourself and having the time of your life, I was sitting at home wondering if I should buy a Framester or a Framemeister.
Yeah.
And I had to stop myself and go, like, I could have this and play Genesis games, or I could buy an Xbox One, an all-inclusive entertainment system.
It's the all-in-one entertainment platform.
Oh, there you go.
So I think you should buy an Xbox One.
And then loop it through the Framemeister.
So the Xbox One only outputs to HDMI. The Framemeister you should not buy, because you only have one fucking retro system.
No, I have like five. I just don't.
You're not going to play them, man.
I know.
Anyway.
But I want to play Skitchen.
You can just hook it up with the RGB or with the RCAs.
I know. It's just not the same. All right, moving on.
You could just mod your fucking console for RGB out.
I know.
Anyway.
All right. So moving on. Tabletop Sim.
So the Tabletop Simulator is available on Steam right now. It's a physics simulator where there's a table. So you're just in the world and there's a table. And then, like, people have, you know, modeled all sorts of games so you could play these with somebody. But there's not, the game doesn't, well, the tabletop simulator doesn't in itself have, like, scorekeeping. You know the best part about tabletop simulator?
What's the best shot?
There's a big button at the fucking top of it that says flip table.
Is that going to be used as a way to settle disputes?
I feel like it's going to be huge in Japan.
It might be. That's a great idea.
Well, because there's like an arcade game in Japan that's a tabletop flipper simulator.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that with the physical table that you have to... Yeah, it's like the punching game.
Yeah, it's like you're getting so mad at your family because they weren't listening to you at the dinner table. Oh, my God. I fucking love the plight of the Japanese salarymen.
Yeah. So these next two look like they might be a tag team. They might be similar.
So, no...
No, they just have a similar naming scheme.
So they're both in they're both in the India, the like in the indie Megamuth, right?
Right.
Centris, I think it's on early access right now. It's a game by Samantha Kallman. It is a music puzzle game in a way. Okay. It's got Triss in there, so you're obviously thinking like you're dropping blocks into this like you're dropping segments into this concentric circle that's moving around, right? But the circle really represents a musical phrase, right? So you're dropping in elements of it to kind of complete this phrase, but it's, you know, set up in a way that even if you like drop in the wrong thing, it's not going to sound like absolute dog shit, right?
Right.
So you're going to come out the other end with like a piece of music you've made. It was really neat. It's really attractive. It's got like such a clean style to it. I found it like my like design nerd side is like kicking in a little bit. Mm. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Something that was more than pretty cool.
Man, I am envious of you having not gone to this PAX and having almost done so.
Tetrapolis.
Tetrapolis.
So Tetrapolis is a puzzle platformer in which you play as Tetrominoes.
God damn it.
So
see, I saw Tetrapolis and then I saw Centris, and in my brain I'm like, Tetris? Senopolis? Like, so anything with Tet or Tris in it now.
So think, you know, I was like, man, you know, Thomas was alone. He's like, yeah, we know, but like, trust us.
Yeah. Moving on.
It's like in a way, it kind of reminded me of Abe's Odyssey.
Wow, that's actually a big jump from like a flashback style game to a thing with Tetris pieces.
Well, like I don't know, like the whole okay, so it's like the framing of it is like this city. Like this city made of like tetrominoes, and like you're a piece like rejected at the tetromino factory, and like
is this the one where like you have to like go around and like you as you play the game your piece changes?
Yeah, but it's not just that. There's also like also the world is made of large. The rooms are made of Tetris pieces, so like you're also in addition to moving your character through it and changing your configuration, you're also like rotating the entire world.
Right.
So this one should be on your radar. They're on Kickstarter, I believe, and they're not quite at their goal, but I can't see them not making it.
Well, especially since I'm going to donate now.
I think I'm going to have a write-up of these, which games are under early access of this and which are on Kickstarter. They call it a Tetroidvania.
Perfect.
So, yeah, give them your money.
I will give them my monies.
All right, some quick hits. Rockets. It's a game where you are a rocket. You play as a rocket that is shooting rockets. That's pretty much it. It's competitive. Think like, you know, combat for Atari 2600?
Sure.
Think if that was like, did enough meth to just not overdose, but just like right on that fucking edge right there.
They just found Maxwell's silver hammer and they went.
Yeah. So that's that. That's pretty cool. Check out this sticker. I don't remember where this is from. That's cute.
That's adorable.
Let's see. Upsilon Circuit. A game by Robot Loves Kitty. I don't know. Oh, no, this was the game show thing. Upsilon Circuit is a game show action RPG. Single server, 8 online. This guy, when you die, you can never play again. When you're chosen to play, the world watches and everyone has a hand in your journey, both friend and foe. Yeah, the guy was nice. He like seemed like a really just excited nerd. Distance. This game is a racing game. Kind of like Rush. It looked like Rush 2049 mixed with Diddy Kong Racing.
Okay.
Cause like
I like those.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's a party I didn't go to because I had to go home to my wife and son.
Old man.
Super Soul Brothers. That was like a jazz duo that was like playing video game music in a corner.
Oh, they were like a live music performance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Machineers. Fuck, I feel like I played this. I don't remember what it was. I talked to a guy named Josh. His game, he had sort of a Minecraft-y roguelike sort of thing going. He works with me, but we, you know, started chatting and blah blah blah. Fantasia Music Evolved, didn't play it, looked good. Harmonix people seemed really fun. Universe Sandbox 2, stop by their booth and like and fuck, you know, fucking talk to them a little bit. The majority of the people that work on that game are scientists, so that's awesome.
That's cool. I guess there's not a whole lot of money in science right now. Not or, in America, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of money in indie games. this was at that sticker. Cosmochoria? A tiny naked cosmonaut must revive a dying galaxy one seed at a time. Yeah, that's on early access at the end of the month. Here's my diversity programming. I think that's... I shouldn't say, like, I think it's important that they're there and that their content is called out. But I do think it would be, I wish it was more in the faces of people that are going to like take pictures with Justin Wong, which I did. Right.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Okay. Tell me it's funny, right? Because like my son was dressed as Ken and there's that famous video where Justin Wong's playing as Chun-Li and gets like destroyed by Daigo's Ken, right? That's why I thought it was funny.
I think it's funny. You think it's funny. I'm not so sure that everyone else does.
Shattered Planet, Moon Hunters, no fucking clue. Oh,
too many consonants in that title.
Titan Souls.
That sounds really familiar. What is that?
It's a 2D like overhead.
It's Titanfall, but it's with souls. It's Titanfall meets Dark Souls.
It's Dark Souls meets Shadow of the Colossus meets Zelda meets Sword and Sorcery.
Okay, now I know which game you're talking about.
Yeah, looked really cool. Looked really hard. Looks like that's the end of this bag. I think I have more stuff in my backpack, but I'll probably just call it.
So let me ask you
So I have like a couple other things I want to talk about. My friend tried to beat Justin Wong at Street Fighter 4. He lost. It's probably shocking to nobody.
Was your friend Daigo? Because then it's not something.
my friend is Misha. Misha. He's Russian. I got my copy of Tetris Battle Gaiden autographed by Alexi.
Oh, sweet. So, that is pretty great, actually.
Yeah. I took a selfie with him.
I saw that on the Facebooks.
Yeah. I was like, because I was asking the handler, I'm like, hey, she was like, do you want me to take a picture? I'm like, can I get a selfie? He's like, oh, you'll have to ask him. I'm like, hey, man, can I take a selfie? He's like, well, what? I'm like, you know, I come
Bloody
around.
Bloody selfie.
I come around and I take the, I was like, fuck, I'm an idiot. Fuck. and then I have a small category I like to call the, oh my God, fuck this awards, featuring Borderlands, Far Cry, and Sega.
So this is not related to the lawsuit information that came out today, right?
No. This is their presence at PAX. So Borderlands, the pre-sequel, like, why does that exist?
Like, because it's going to make money.
Play as Handsome Jack. Why isn't... It's weird that it's coming out on last gen. I don't know. It seems like a really weird thing. Far Cry, their booth was so loud and like had this contest where people can dress up like animals and then like push each other around this like sumo ring. I sent CJ...
Every year at PAX, someone has the sumo fat suit competition thing or the giant American Gladiator Q-tips, and I never understand it.
It's Ubisoft?
No, it's always someone else every year. Like, some marketing person every year goes like, you know what would be a good idea? Let's get sumo suits.
Yeah. Ah, fuck. I feel like my audio's fucked up.
Your audio's not fucked up.
Okay, so then I'm going to turn off monitor. Fuck. This is echo.
So, like, this may... Well, talk about Sega and why fuck them, and then I want to ask you something.
Oh, no, because, like, Sonic Boom and, like, come on, Sega. Yeah. But they did have that... I don't know if you saw that GIF I tweeted out that Alex O'Neill asked me to send him. Hatsune Miku. Basically, it was a small Japanese woman who basically her job was to dance back and forth like this all day at the Sega booth. Fuck, this is an hour? We've been talking for an hour?
You're really into this.
Anyway... the award goes to Borderlands because I'm like, God, fuck that. Oh, no, award goes to WB Games because they were giving out, like, they were periodically giving out collector's editions of the last Batman Origins game. It comes in these huge boxes and people were, like, swarming. And I happened to walk near there when I was carrying around my son and I fucking thought I was going to have to stab somebody.
Oh, that's like every year when Riot Games is at PAX East. Like, hey, we're giving away character skins and it's... like fucking Ferguson on the show floor. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah, I got one of those cards. I gave it to some dude that I did one of Harold's shows with.
Good on you. So, being that this was PAX, was the concert the same bullshit that it is every year?
I go, that shit, you fucking nerd.
All right, that's what I wanted to make sure.
Fucking virgin.
So, John, come on. Would you do it again?
I'm going to do it again. I'll be at PAX East 2015.
Sweet.
Nobody's going to PAX South.
I think you should check again.
No, nobody like games.
No, I know. But I think PAX South will be a weird, interesting thing all the same.
No, dude, I think it's going to be worse than Boston the first year.
We'll see. I mean, Boston the first year. You know, as bad as Boston was the first year, I still enjoyed it. I still
have fond memories. Remember that show floor?
Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe you're going to South. Ugh.
Yep, going to South, and it
hasn't even sold out.
Dude, to go to South is cheaper than to drive to Boston. Like, to take a plane to South with Airbnb and all that is going to wind up costing me less money than the trip to Boston.
Yeah, whatever, I'm not going. It's going to be lame.
Well, I'm going to both of them this year, or next year, so let's do it.
You should go to all three. Come to Seattle.
We'll see what's up.
Dude, if I'm coming to East, you're coming to Seattle.
All right, John, we've been going at this for a while. Why don't you do your wrap-up on this, your ostensibly shorter episode of the show?
My wrap-up? I don't fucking know, man. PAX, it's good. Like, I mean, my fucking takeaways from this year are, man, it's fucking so hard because there's so much good stuff that happens there, but, like, there's so much crap, too. I guess that's kind of just the fucking nature of this whole thing. But, you know, by day four, I was just exhausted. 4 days is too much fucking PAX. But, you know, it was dope. And so, I guess, for Fred Earhart, I'm John Anderson, and we'll see you next week on Fantastic Neighborhood.
Yay! Yay, I've been recording this entire time.
Great. That'll be a pain. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Let it go. I don't know.
Did you just sing a Frozen song?
I was listening to this fucking like pretty bad house music playlist today, and like somebody had like a remix of that.
Of course.
I was like, this sounds familiar. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't even look at myself full screen. This is, what do you think I do most of the time?
What do you mean you can't look at yourself full screen?
Like, you're in this tiny window down. I'm in my tiny window. You can't switch it, can you?
You can make it relatively larger.
I'm just putting the picture of me just over your eyes. Control shift 3. Oh, that's good.
The things that make you laugh, John, are awful. Just awful.
What is my usual thing about this? What's number is this?
I want to say 17, but I don't know.
Oh my God, our site is so.
I know. I gotta get it off that server. I'm gonna buy a new server.
Just use GoDaddy.
I heard they have girls.
Gals.
Goyles.
So, gotta say, episode 16. 17. Love that fucking image. Oh, so good.
What, you as the cliffhanger?
That's so good. As the cliffhanger. The lead character from the film Cliffhanger. The cliffhanger.
Yeah, Bob Cliffhanger.
Oh my God, you know it would be great if they rebooted the cliffhanger and just called it the cliffhanger. Well, rebooted cliffhanger and called it the cliffhanger.
Meh.
I was just talking about cliffhanger recently because my wife was talking about some movie with John Lithgow in it. I was like, oh, he's only good in one movie.
Dude, I've never seen Cliffhanger.
What?
Yeah.
I bet it holds up.
I mean, did it hold up in the first, like, was it strong enough to begin with?
I mean, I liked it, but I was a kid. Kids are idiots.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Trust me, I've got one. Dumbass. All right.